Well, again, Merry Christmas. As I said, my name is David, and it's exciting for me to be here this Christmas. This is my first Christmas here at Holy Cross, and so if you're here for the first time, I want to extend a special welcome to you as well. We're so glad that you have chosen to spend Christmas with us here as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the favorite things to me about Christmas, one of the things I love the most is Christmas carols. They cannot start too early on the radio for me. I love it. I love singing them. I love singing them in the car as a family. I love singing them here at church. I absolutely love Christmas carols. And in particular, I say Christmas carols, not just Christmas songs, because Christmas carols are really worship songs. It's what I love about them. They're worship songs that we get to sing about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they can be great theology. I don't know if you've ever thought about the songs that we sing at Christmas and what they're teaching us about God and how they're focusing our hearts on Jesus himself. For example, I love the carol, Away in a Manger. We just sung it a few minutes ago over in the children's service, and it's a beautiful and powerful carol. It's one of the ones that's been sung around the world, one of the most popular hymns in the world. Interestingly, no one knows exactly how old it is. Some people believe that it was written by the great reformer Martin Luther, while others believe it became popular much later. In the late 1800s, it became the song that we know and love and sing today. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. I remember even as a kid loving this picture. I mean, being fascinated with the nativity set and the little tiny baby Jesus in the manger at the center of it. This picture of the manger that's at the heart of this song has captivated people's imaginations down through history. The manger is a powerful symbol featured in songs and nativities and classical artwork and Christmas cards. We love this idea of the manger, but not just for its cuteness or its sweetness. I think it is a powerful symbol, a powerful sign, and we see that in our gospel reading tonight from Luke. It's interesting to me that Luke's account mentions the manger no less than three times in his telling of the story of Jesus' birth. He says that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. It goes on to say later that this amazing claim about the manger is that it would be a sign for the shepherds that they would find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And then finally, Luke says this, they went with haste, the shepherds, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. I don't know if it just had escaped me or if I'd forgotten the significance of the manger in Luke's account. Did you notice how it's not just a part of the background, it is a sign. It's a sign to the shepherds. The angels tell the shepherds who are watching their flocks that Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the King of the world, God born in the flesh, was here, and that here is how you can find him. He'll be a baby in the city of David in Bethlehem, and he will be laying in a manger. This is like the greatest scavenger hunt of all time. The shepherds go off looking for the Messiah, for the Savior, and the manger is the key clue. That's how they will find him. And so this sign to the shepherds is the sign they need. Jesus is the one you are looking for. Here's how to find him. I think Christmas invites all of us, like the shepherds, to consider this profound question. Who or what are we looking for? Who or what are we looking for? In a way, we're always looking for something. Maybe this Christmas you've been looking for that perfect gift for the person you love. Maybe you've been looking for something more serious, like a new job or a new home. But I wonder about the deepest level of who you are. At the deepest level, what is it that you're looking for? What is the source of purpose and meaning in your life? What helps you to find your place in the world? What helps you to know who you are? Our deepest desires can tell us a lot about who we are. Author James K.A. Smith wrote a book several years ago called You Are What You Love. I love that title. You Are What You Love. And in it, he makes this observation. He says, our wants and longings and desires are at the core of our identity. They're the wellspring from which our actions and our behavior flow. See, I think Smith has put his finger on something that's profoundly true, that desire is a profoundly powerful source of energy in our lives. It moves us. It shapes us. So powerful, in fact, that our deepest desires shape who we become, for better or for worse. For example, and don't raise your hands, but I wonder if you've ever done something you knew was wrong, but you still chose to do it. Or I wonder if you made a choice in your life that you knew wouldn't end well, but you made it anyway. I know I have, and I wonder why. Why would I do that? Why would I make those kinds of choices? And on some level, it's because I wanted to. My desire was so powerful that I chose even to do those things that might hurt me or others in my life. And I think it reveals something about our human nature, something that the Bible teaches us, that God made us with a deep desire to be known and to be loved. And the claim of the Bible is that only God can ultimately fill our deepest desires. The problem is that we don't believe that, and so we try to satisfy our desires with all kinds of other things in our lives. We end up trying to make good things into ultimate things. We can try to find ultimate meaning and purpose in our work. But I wonder what happens when you lose your job or you retire. We can try to find it in our spouse or someone that we love. But what happens when that person leaves us or hurts us or betrays us? We can try to find it in our race or in our gender or in our sexuality. We desperately try to meet our deepest longings in all kinds of ways. But it never seems to meet that deep desire that we all have. It leaves us feeling unfulfilled and uncertain. It ends up hurting us and those around us. The truth is, trying to fulfill our deepest longings without God is what the Bible calls sin. Sin is our choice to do life on our own terms. Sin is our rejection of God. Sin is what separates us from God and breaks our relationship with Him. Sin is what disorders our desires and leaves us feeling lost and broken in this life. But the good news of Christmas is that there is a way back to God. A Savior has been born, and His name is Jesus. And He is the one that we are looking for. The great mathematician Blaise Pascal famously once said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. If there's one word, one message that I hope you hear this Christmas, it is this. It's that you were made for life with God. You were made for life with your Creator. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why the Father sent His one and only Son. That's why He gave the manger as a sign for the shepherds, that it would lead them to this Jesus. And tonight we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we celebrate, we give thanks for the fact that He didn't remain a child. He grew up and He chose to die on a cross. And He took on Himself the consequences of our disordered desires and our sin. And the good news is if we put our trust in Him, if we stop trying to find purpose and peace in everything else, we can know life with Him, life to the full. The good news is God still gives us signs today. And I don't know what your manger sign might be. Maybe it will be a friend that loves you enough to talk to you about Jesus and how he's changed their life. Maybe the sign for you will be a crisis that reveals just how little control you really have in life. Maybe it will be getting that thing that you thought would bring you meaning and purpose only to discover that it can't. Maybe it will be reaching rock bottom and losing everything. Whatever it is, I want you to know that God's desire is that it would lead you to Jesus. I wonder this Christmas what it is that you're looking for. What are you trusting in? Is it filling you with genuine joy? Is it giving you real and lasting hope? Maybe this Christmas, maybe even being here tonight is God's sign to you. An invitation to consider this Jesus. It's an invitation to tell God, I'm sorry that I've tried to do life on my own terms. I don't want to do that anymore. It's your chance to express to him your gratitude for the way that he's loved you and provided for you, that he sent his son to save you and to forgive you. Maybe even tonight is a chance to tell him that you know the deepest longing in your soul is for him and that you want the life that he and he alone can offer. My hope for all of us this Christmas is that we would be drawn to Jesus, that like the shepherds, we would see the signs and we would come to find him. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you for the first time. Maybe that's you tonight for the first time in a long time. But my prayer is that you would hear fresh these words from the angels. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ our Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that you are the God who sent Jesus into the world. And Lord, we thank you that you are the God who gives us signs, signs that lead us and draw us to Jesus, who is the deepest desire of our hearts. Lord, you know every heart in this room. You know the burdens that we carry. Lord, even as we celebrate, Lord, the things that are giving us heartbreak and challenge. And so, Lord, I pray that you would meet us where we are tonight, that your peace and your hope and your joy would pierce through the darkness, that we might know the great love of God in Jesus Christ, and that we would come to saving faith in him. Lord, draw us again to Jesus, we pray. I pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.